Revelation chapter 1, and I want to go ahead and I'll just give you the title of the message here this morning. Three words, I'll give you the reference for it and so forth, but let me just tell you the title, kind of the heart of what it's about today, and that is, Keep Yourself Pure. Keep yourself pure. Father, again, we come before you right now. Lord, our confession is that we believe your inspired word, and we believe in the power of your Holy Spirit. In spite of our human weaknesses and tendencies, we thank you that there's victory today. We thank you that by your Spirit, Lord, we can live a life that honors you. And may we walk in that today, obedient by the power of your Spirit. Lord, encourage someone who feels like they're just defeated, dejected, and Lord, whatever it may be, even condemned. I thank you that there's no condemnation in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit. Rise up within us. Help us to just run to you, Lord, to trust you. Lord, to thank you for forgiveness. You said those who are forgiven much love much. So help us to receive full forgiveness, freedom, your love, and then help us to love you and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep yourself pure, Revelation chapter 1. And I started a series last week of at least maybe three, four messages here in Revelation. I recently shared a couple of messages on receiving and maintaining the peace of Jesus. Last week, we shared this message out of Revelation, and I'll give you the title on that in just a moment. But let's read the first three verses here. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Says the revelation of Jesus Christ. That means this is the revealing of Jesus the Messiah. Yes, it mentions the beast. It mentions the 666 and all of that. That's not what the book is about. It is the revealing of Jesus the Messiah, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. He sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to, notice, the word of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads. So there's a blessing that's coming to me right now as I'm reading this. Reads aloud to the church. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear. So receive your blessing. Those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep. That means to observe, to guard, to do. So it's to be obedient, to not just hear, but to do the things which are written in it, for the time is near. And this, since it's the revelation of Jesus, I believe it's always wise for us to ask, anytime we open not just the book of Revelation, but Scripture in general, let's ask ourselves, what can I learn about Jesus in this Scripture? You say, but Brother Rocky, he didn't come along till the New Testament. But he's found in the Old Testament as well. And everything points to him. And it's about him. The Bible says that the volume of the book was written about him. So what do we learn of Jesus? And what do I learn of his will for me? So it's not just information for my mind. It's obedience from my heart to be more like Jesus. So what do we learn of Jesus and his will for our lives? And then he goes on here, and I will pick up again in verse 5. He says this, Revelation 1:5. Sorry, pages. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Remember those words, please. They'll be used again. Faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Those words comfort me. I thank God that there is a higher ruler than man. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thank you, Jesus. He's made us kings and priests. Some translations say kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. And so, again, we can be ready to meet him at that moment. When he returns, it will not be a, silent night, holy night in Bethlehem. Everyone's going to know when he returns in glory and power. And we want to be ready. The time to get ready is now. to receive Jesus as Lord and to have his blood cleanse us from all sin and not be like some who will call on the rocks and mountains to fall on them because they're not ready to face him. Verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Notice that he's in this with the other believers at that time. In fact, he was exiled to an island called Patmos because he was a follower of Jesus. Those who believe in God and follow Jesus have been persecuted from time. We've been blessed in our country, but many others don't have the freedoms that we've had and enjoyed. And by God's grace, we're going to be true to Jesus as well, just like they are wherever they may be around the world. So he says, I'm your brother in tribulation, the kingdom, and the patience of Jesus Christ. And I was on the island called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. There's that phrase again. The Revelation gives us pictures of spiritual conflict that will take place until Jesus returns to this earth to fully inaugurate the kingdom of God, the reign of God on earth. So there are battles and there are conflicts and there are temptations that we will have to face. And Jesus tells us ahead of time because he wants us to be prepared, not scared. He tells us so that we can be prepared and that we're ready. We can overcome through him. And the only way we overcome is through him. And in fact, for time's sake, I won't read it. I read it last week. But John here sees Jesus in his resurrected glory. And when he sees him, John says, I fell at his feet as dead. But Jesus came over and touched him, put his right hand on him. And he says this, I will read this verse here. This is toward the end of chapter 1 and verse 17. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. And Jesus is pictured walking among lampstands, which represent the churches, and holding seven stars in his hand, which are the messengers, or angels they're called, to these churches. So last week, Jesus speaks to seven churches, seven local churches there. And the first, I'll say it again, battles and temptations are part of this life, but we can overcome through the one who's already won the victory. That's so important. Jesus has already won the victory, and we can enter his victory by faith. And so he tells us the first area, and it can be easy to blow it off because the church had so many good things they were doing. And he says, nevertheless, I have this against you. It seems like it's a little thing. It's an important area because this first area Jesus addresses affects every other area of our Christian lives. We don't want to get away from this. Revelation 2, verses 4 and 5. There's just a little setup from last week, and then we'll move on. Revelation 2, 4 and 5. Jesus said, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. That first place love. That love that you had at first. The love for me. The love for one another. You don't have that any longer. In verse 5, he says, remember, therefore, from where you've fallen. Don't take it lightly. And repent. So remember, return, rekindle that first love. Rekindle that passion that you had at one time. And do the first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Last week's message was simply called Love First. Love First. It's got to be about love first. Jesus said every commandment flows out of two. Every commandment. And someone asked Jesus one day, what's the most important commandment? What's the first commandment of all? And Jesus said, all right, who wants to give it a shot? All right, I'll get you started. Ready? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your and with all your, all right, soul and mind, and with all your strength. And that's the first commandment. And the second one, like it, love your neighbor as yourself. But it comes back to that. I've said before over time, we need a strong enough why. If someone said, well, first of the year, I'm going to start a diet. That's your business. How about this? How about just maybe start eating a little healthier? How about that? You don't have to go on and off a diet. Maybe just make a change. But even when our heart, you know, we have a desire, I'm going to get my spending under control. I'm going to give, you know, I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to, whatever it is. They can all be good things. But if we don't have a strong enough why, then when the laziness wants to come in or is inconvenient or difficult or hard, it's easy to give up. I think it's just part of nature, our human nature. So we have to have a strong enough why. What keeps us close to Jesus and what keeps him first place in our lives? We need a strong enough why. We need to know that he left the glories of heaven and he came to this earth to redeem me, to save me, to rescue me from sin and spiritual death. I don't have to go to hell and I don't have to live a moment without him in this life because he loved me that much. He died for me on the cross and paid for my sins and he wants me to love him first. So it's love first, and then I've got a motivation. But people will make fun of me. It was love first. But it's hard at times, but it's love first. But I get my emotion going, but it's love first. It's love first. And then the scripture says this, if you want to just write this reference down. Well, in fact, let's go on. Let's just keep reading in Revelation chapter 2. Why do we do what we do? See, love motivated Jesus, and love motivates us as well. Now let's pick up with keep yourself pure. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says this. And I want to just read the message, okay? So let's just try to focus, follow along, those of you who are watching, listening. It says, and to the angel or the church or the messenger of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Aren't you glad Jesus knows your circumstances today? Some of you may think, you don't know what I got to put up with at home. You don't know what I work for, a fire-breathing dragon. You don't know what it's like on my campus. You don't know. Jesus knows. I know where you live. I know what you're going through. You're not alone. He says, I know where you live and there's a place where Satan's throne is, but yet you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr. That's the same expression Jesus, it says there in Revelation 1:5, faithful witness. He was killed among you. And again, Jesus said, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the teaching or the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Here is the focus on keep yourself pure, because we must overcome with God's help, by God's grace, by the Spirit of the Lord within us. We must overcome the temptation to compromise with idolatry and immorality. We must overcome that temptation to compromise. He said, you have some who are teaching that it's okay. You can be involved in this and you can be involved in that relationship. It's not okay to God if it's idolatry or immorality. Keep yourself pure. Would you say that with me? Keep yourself pure. And I know it's easy to, when I hear that word many times, I think of it in the context of, you know, our sexual purity, morality, and certainly that applies. But let's not overlook idolatry here. All right? So he says that you do that, and he goes on in verse 16, and he says, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Jesus, see, the word of God that can bring salvation and strength and comfort and peace and healing and deliverance can also work against us if we're outside of God's will. So to be on the right side, it's a two-edged sword. It can cut like a doctor removing something that doesn't need to be there, pruning, or it could be hurting. It would be hurting. So it's a two-edged sword. And so he says, I'm going to come, and unless you repent, it's not just enough to, you know, have good intentions. We've got to change our direction. We got to have a change of heart and somehow have a change of action that is motivated and empowered by God's grace. And then this is a promise. Jesus offers a promise to all overcomers. And he says in verse 17, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Jesus can feed us spiritually with something that goes beyond what our eyes see. And there's also, of course, of an eternal reward as well. But he says, I'll feed you with manna, and I'll give him a white stone, acceptance, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. Y'all remember that little song? There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Thank God. There's a new name. It's written in the Lamb's book of life. Thank God for that. Would you just write these scripture references down? I'll read it to you. It's 1 John chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. Because this scripture gives us a motivation to pursue purity. It's like we need that incentive. And it says this in 1 John 3. I'll come back and close in Revelation in a little bit, but let me read that to you. 1 John chapter 3, and you can follow along. In fact, I want to ask you, would you read this on the screen with me, and we'll read it on the same translation, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Would you read it out loud together with me? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. And then verse 2, let's read that one together as well. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then verse 3 says, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. There's something that motivates purity out of love and hope. One day, when we look at ourselves right now, I know we can see our past, we can see our failures, our weaknesses, our flaws. Sometimes we have others who help point them out to us. But one day we'll stand before God blameless because of the power of the blood of Jesus. And because one day we'll be like him, we won't be God, but we'll be purified where we won't have to contend with sin any longer. There'll be a new nature. And if we have that hope in him, it can help us to live a life of purity right now. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. Would you say it with me? Keep yourself pure. And then, you know, in this city, there were actually, there were temples there. It was a place of pagan worship and religion and imperial religion. What that means is there was like a temple to Zeus. There were altars to Asclepius. He was the god, I guess, or was it he? God of healing. I want to say God, little g. But also the worship of the emperor, the one in office. And he was considered to be divine. Isn't that something that the people had to consider? They idolized a man, a leader. And God says, no, you got to keep your heart pure. You got to have Jesus, number one, no idolatry. See, that's what it really comes down to is, does Jesus have any competition in my heart for number one? There's only one throne in my heart. It has to be reserved for Jesus. And brothers and sisters, it is a constant battle. There's always something wanting to take that place in our heart. Who gets our, or what gets our allegiance? What gets our praise? What gets our confidence and trust? What am I relying on? Who am I relying on? What gets my time, my devotion? What gets my service, money? There's always a battle in our heart for who will be number one or what will be. We can make a thing, and it may not be evil in itself, but if it takes the place of Jesus, it's an idol. Please, let's not take this lightly. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me or beside me. Even all the way through, here we are, last book of the Bible. Still, the people of God, we've always had to contend with idolatry and immorality. To make sure to keep Jesus, number one, keep yourself pure, keep your motive pure, keep your heart pure. Make sure, stay close to the Lord and make sure that he is number one. If we do that, I really believe God will use us for his glory and honor. But let's not take it lightly. Let's, you know what happened? If we do not worship and follow the one true and living God, we make substitutes, idols. But they will not stand the test of time. They will eventually let us down. They will not comfort like Jesus comforts. They will not grant peace, victory, strength, or anything else. Whatever temporary things they may offer in this life is not worth the trade-off. Let's keep Jesus number one. Keep yourself pure. And then he goes on in verse 18, Revelation 2:18. He says this. This is the second church. I will close with this one. He says, unto the angel of the church, messenger in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, service, and faith. I know your patience, that your works, the last, are more than the first. But yet he says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow. Would you say allow? Because you allow that woman Jezebel. Now, whether it was an actual lady in the church, maybe just using that name representing a false teaching, but you allow this teaching. She calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants. And notice it again, to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. There it is again, idolatry and immorality. He says, I gave her time to repent of her immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I'll cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death. That speaks of those who follow that teaching. And all the churches will know, that I am he who searches the mind and the hearts, and I'll give to each one of you according to your works. See, Jesus, he knows our true spiritual condition, doesn't he? He knows our heart. He can see beyond what man sees. He knows our heart. He knows our motive and our intention. He's just simply saying, that's why I said we got to guard against the temptation to compromise. Because where in the church before he says you have this teaching going forth, now he says you just allow it to take place. I know you're doing this and you're doing that and you say you love people and so forth, but this is an area that's too important to neglect. You can't allow this to take place. You can't endorse it. What people do on their own, I can't control, but we can endorse what God has forbidden. That was a good place to say amen, but y'all missed it. That's okay. It's all right now. Too late. No. I know this is probably not popular preaching today, is it? That doesn't matter, though. Jesus determines the message, and that's what he said. Keep yourself pure. You know, when he said, you allow those who have the teaching of Balaam, what happened was this king hired Balaam to come in and curse God's people. But when he looked at them, instead of pronouncing a curse on him, God gave him a word of blessing over God's people. Isn't that good to know that you cannot be cursed in Christ? But what happened was Balaam tricked the people. He deceived them into getting involved in relationships that were destructive. And when they did that, then the people brought a plague on themselves. So they got out of God's will and opened themselves up to destruction and a plague that came in, not because God cursed them, but because they just got into disobedience and got away from the Lord. But thank God, we can repent. That's what it means. We can turn back. And so he says, don't compromise. Immorality, let me share what it is first. Immorality is sexual relationship outside of the covenant of marriage. And God ordained, he sanctified marriage, the institution of marriage as husband and wife. And I got to make the clarity in our day, man and woman. And that's the marriage covenant, a commitment of love. And outside of that relationship, well, I know we can be tempted, young or old, married, single. I know that. But that's where we want to have, how do we walk in victory? We overcome through him. Keep yourself pure. So not just, idolatry, but in that area of immorality, because immorality hurts God, immorality hurts our relationship with Him, and immorality, it undermines the sanctity of the holy marriage covenant, that loving commitment that God wants between that special relationship between husband and wife. And so it always damages somehow. Let's not take it lightly. I know that, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry of pornography and sex trafficking in our day. In a sense, it's really modern slavery. But pornography, you know, you might think, well, I'm just watching this, I'm not hurting anybody else. You may be fueling that very sin, not realizing what's going on. I believe there's deliverance. I know it can be a stronghold. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm simply saying there can be deliverance. There can be freedom. We can renew our minds. I can tell you, I've had to do that over my years. I remember just, you know, I was back in the day. I didn't have on internet pornography or whatever. But just even as a kid, sometimes seeing magazines or pictures or images, I've had, you know, over time, you got to renew your mind from that so that you can look at someone and, you know, appreciate, oh, she's pretty. Oh, he's handsome, but not let your mind go beyond, you know, where it doesn't need to be. We just say, keep yourself pure. Let me go on and finish this and read this scripture here again. And this is in, continuing on there, chapter 2 and verse 24. You know, actually, well, let me come on down. Verse 25, Revelation chapter 2, verse 25. The Bible says, Jesus said, hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. We get to rule and reign with Christ. Now, real quick, I want to close with this. I want to give you a few verses, two action steps to live it out. But this is so important. How do we maintain a pure heart? He said, keep yourself pure, but I got a problem. See, purity begins within. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You think you can memorize that this week? Y'all can learn that one? I think you can. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. But let me read you something else Jesus said if you want to write it down. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18 and 19. Jesus again speaking, and he says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. In the account in Mark 7, it says pride. So if the pure in heart shall see God, I got a big problem because I got sin in my heart. So does that mean I can't see God? No, it means that Jesus made a way for the sin in our heart to be forgiven and cleansed to give us a pure heart. Jesus gives heart transplants. He gives us a new heart. The old one isn't done away in this life, but we can consider it dead and walk in the new one. That's why it says in Acts chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, the scripture says this, so God, who knows the hearts, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, Jew and Gentile. Notice it, purifying their hearts by faith. Would you say that with me? Purifying their hearts by faith. When we believe God's word and receive Jesus as our crucified and risen Lord, we are forgiven of all sin. Our hearts are cleansed by his blood. His Holy Spirit indwells us, and he will help us to walk in victory. Keep yourself pure. But then we have to live it out. Notice verse 20. We'll put it on the screen. Acts 15, 20. The Bible says this. He says, we write these things to you to abstain from things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality. So I'm writing this. Your hearts have been cleansed, but now you got to live it out every day. You say, Brother Rocky, that's easier said than done. I know, but how do we live it out? Real quick, two ways. Number one, first of all, we must pursue purity. How do we live it out? We must pursue purity. It's good to have a good defense, but if you have no offense, you won't score. You won't win any games. And in that sense of a spiritual relation, it's not just enough to say, well, I'm not going to think any bad thoughts. I'm not going to think any bad thoughts. I'm not going to have, you know, any competition with Jesus. I'm not going to have any idols. That's not how we walk in victory. It's, yes, we guard our heart. But I've found that if we want to walk in victory and overcome those battles and temptations, we've got to value purity enough to pursue it with actions. We can't be passive. We've got to be aggressive and pursue purity. We got to pursue it in our heart. We've got to pursue it with our minds. We've got to pursue it with our ears and with our mouths, everything that about us, to pursue purity in heart and life. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, if you want to write it down, we'll have it on the screen. Flee also youthful lust. So run, get away, avoid any. I learned this, I heard a brother say it, or sister, years ago. I wish I'd have heard it much earlier in life. They said, the more you let in, the more you have to battle. The more stuff you entertain, the more what you listen to, watch, the more you let in, the more you have to battle. So it's best to avoid if you can. Life has enough temptations and battles. Let's not add to it. So he says, flee youthful lust, but pursue. Would you say pursue? So we have to pursue. Notice it. He says, pursue righteousness. Go after being right with God. Go after faith. Pursue love. Pursue peace with those who call on the Lord again out of a pure heart. We still have that natural tendency to sin, even when we're forgiven and indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. There's still a world system that's pulling us, wanting us to be drawn to sin, so we can't just, you know, kind of hope we can hold out. The Bible says we overcome evil with good. We overcome evil with good, so we have to keep ourselves pure. That word keep means to, like, to guard, but it also means to observe or do. So we guard our heart, but we also do the commandments of God. We live it out practically. Keep yourself pure. Pursue purity. And then I'll close with this second step and have a final scripture. That is, stay close to God and godly people. Stay close to God and godly people. Keep yourself pure. All right, I've got to make up my mind. I'm going after God, going after righteousness. I'm going to pursue the right things. I'm going to not just avoid what I should, don't need, but I'm going to pursue right. I'm going to pursue closer walk with God. I'm going to pursue godly relationships. This is so important. I've learned it. I've seen the importance over the years of how important it is to stay in godly fellowship with godly people. Not just going to church, that's part of it, but to have close relationships with godly people, because we need that input. We overcome. Look, the Spirit of God is within us and we overcome by Him. So first we've got to stay close to the Lord. Stay close fellowship with Him. Help me out. Help me out. How do we do that? Jesus in heaven, how can I stay close fellowship with the Lord? God's Word. We got to keep feeding our faith with God's Word. We're constantly hit with temptation and battles. We're constantly hit with stuff to pull us away, to tear us down, to weigh us down, to get away from close fellowship with the Lord. We have to continually keep feeding our faith. Keep confessing God's Word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. All right, so what else? Keep confessing. Keep believing. Feeding your faith. Keep worshiping Jesus. Keep worshiping the Lord, because worship draws us into His presence. And as we behold His glory and worship, there's something cleansing that God does by His Spirit. So Word and worship. Anything else? Prayer. So we pray. Pouring out our heart to God, just talking to our Heavenly Father, having that time where we give Him our full attention, but just staying in communion with Him all throughout the day. Close to, always keeping that prayer line open, always, always. All right? Worship, prayer, the Word. Anything else? Fellowship. So fellowship with other believers. Now, if we get together, I get together with another Christian, and all we talk about is sports, my hobby, the weather, this going on in the world, man, this going on at work, home. Not that we can't do that, but it's not, do you see how it's not building up? It's not real fellowship. Fellowship is we're sharing the Lord and we're sharing His truth and His word. That's fellowship. That's partaking together. And when we have brothers and sisters that we can fellowship with in God's word and the things of God and the goodness of the Lord, man, there's something strengthening about that. Keep yourself pure. Then also, we can share Him with non-Christians, that we want others to come to know Him. So that's one way we can stay close to the Lord too. It would be hard for me to be way out of here of God's will and then be a good witness to somebody else. So keep yourself pure. Jesus, number one in my life. Jesus, number one in my heart, and seeking to live it out. Notice what it said there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. He says, pursue this with those. Would you say with those? With those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Revelation was written to churches. And the body of Christ is not just one member. Brothers and sisters, we need each other. It's many members. And some people, I'm not condemning anyone who I know you might not be able to get out. We have some, I understand, and the Lord knows that. But even then, to stay connected somehow, because humility recognizes that I need God and I need to stay close to Him. But humility also recognizes I haven't arrived. I'm not on this island by myself. And I need to have godly input and godly influence from other growing believers. Amen. Revelation chapter 12. I'll close with this. Would you turn there with me? Revelation chapter 12. Would you say, keep yourself pure? Revelation chapter 12, two verses, verses 10 and 11. And the Bible says this. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ or His Messiah have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. We all know who the accuser is, don't we? How many of you ever heard his accusations? Any of you? Bringing up your past, you're not, you know, all of this. But verse 11, and they, the brothers and sisters, overcame him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Devil, you can remind me of my past, but I can turn that around and say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, yeah, I did that and I was wrong, but Jesus forgave me. Lord, thank you. And just get closer to the Lord, not run from Him. We overcome Him by the loving sacrifice of our Lord for us. He goes on and he says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of their testimony is the testimony of God's grace to us. It's not about how spiritual I am, how I overcame this. I say, thanks be to God be the glory. It's a testimony to His grace for him. And then he says this, they did not love their lives to the death. Do you see why it's love first? It's got to be love first. We overcome. We may never have to give our life in that sense for Jesus or our faith here as Christians, but the willingness is there to say, Lord, you loved me and gave yourself for me. Now I want to love you more than however many days I might have in this temporary life. I want to love you more than just temporary. I want to love you what's forever because you've been good to me and I'm thankful. We overcome. Keep yourself pure. Brothers and sisters, if we would do this, if we'll stay close to God, stay close to godly people, pursue purity with our heart and actions, God will use us for His glory and honor, and we will be a light to those around us. Can we just close in prayer right now? And let's just look to the Lord. And I want to ask you just to search your own heart and mind. Just think about battles and opportunities right now, maybe that you've had to deal with, even going through right now. These are opportunities to grow closer to the Lord and to grow spiritually. Let's not, as part of life, let's use them wisely. get closer to God, grow spiritually, be obedient. Let's trust the Lord. Let's just do what He says. Father, I pray that You would empower us by Your Spirit today. Lord, every area, yield it to You. I pray that You would be with those maybe who are watching and listening right now. I pray that You would cleanse our heart. Lord, that You would truly be Lord of all and number one. And I pray that any area where You show us, even right now, where we need to just make it right with You, Lord, we ask You for grace to just repent, turn to You, and by faith receive freedom, receive cleansing, receive grace to live it out for today. You said, don't worry about tomorrow. Help us to just be obedient today, for grace today, and tomorrow we'll do the same thing as You remind us. And we thank You for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we stand as we just conclude?